Okay, so today, this service, at least you have me. Amen. The Lord bless you. So get your pen and paper ready and be ready to write. And because I believe that God is going to speak to you. God is going to speak to you. And I'm also convinced that you are not going to return home the same way you came. That when you leave this place, you're going to leave this place with a lot of baggages down at the feet of Jesus. And you're going to get out of here empty, in peace, in joy, in fulfillment, in prosperity. And the Lord indeed will establish your ways because that is his promise. Amen? Okay, Pastor started a series about 2 weeks ago now talking about decisions make you. Decision makes you. And last week was extremely powerful. If you were here last week, this service, I want to believe most of you that are here were here last week, for the first service as well. That sermon was served really hot. It was straight out of the stove. Amen? Really straight out of the stove. It was really served hot. You know, it petered out the second and third service. It didn't have the same intensity. What I mean is the message is as strong, but I mean, how many of you will agree with me that last week was really, really served straight out of the stove? It was really hot. But you see, that is what we need if we really say we want more of Jesus. If you want more of him, he says, follow me. Are you really following him? Are you willing to follow him? What does it really mean to follow him? And last week, Pastor dealt with that extensively, what it means to actually follow Christ. He made a decision to love the Lord with all his heart. He made a decision to serve the Lord, and he made a decision to submit everything, the three things that he has, the treasure, the time, and the talent to use to serve God. That is a decision that each and every one of us have to make. You see, the good thing about the thing about decision is that it is something you make every day. Not even every day. Decision is something you make every minute, if not every second. You decided to be here this morning. You could choose to do something else. You could choose to be somewhere else. But because you are here, you made a decision to come and feed your spirit, you are confident that when you leave this place, you are going to be lifted in the spirit more than you were before you came in. Your decision is making you. Some of us went to the university to study. We made a decision, or maybe we didn't make a decision. Maybe daddy said, you know, you do this. But it doesn't matter how the decision was made. Somehow, a decision was made that you go do this course. Go study medicine. Go study law. And then you come out and become what? You become a lawyer. When you study law, if you went in and the decision was that you go study medicine, you become a medical doctor. Your decisions make you. And you know, one of the things I want to, the thing is, whether the decisions are good or bad, they have exactly the same impact. When you make good decisions, it makes you good. When you make bad decisions, it makes a bad situation. But you see, the thing is, a lot of the times, man doesn't like to take responsibility for his decisions. And we'll blame everything. We'll blame where we're born. We'll blame the weather. We will blame the system. We'll blame the witches in the village. We'll blame anything. Anything that we absolve us of responsibilities. But the reality of life is that a man that is not willing to take responsibilities for his decision is a man that's not going to make a change. You have to be willing to take responsibility for your decisions. So if you have walked in a certain way up and until now, and you really sincerely desire to make a change or to become something in your, you know, that you have always, a person that you have always dreamt of, you have to make a decision. But part of making that decision is also taking responsibility for the decisions of yesterday and blame no one. I don't know how many of us have started reading the seven decisions. The very first decision there is the responsible decision. That's the very first. It just basically tells you that you have to learn to take responsibilities for your decisions. That's just by way of introduction. What I really want to focus on this morning, let's open our Bibles to Let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 19. Matthew 4, 19. I think mine is faster than yours, so I'm going to be reading from mine. Amen. It says, "Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make of you fishers of men.'" And in verse 20 says, "They immediately left their nets and followed him." The instruction was clear. The decision was instant. Follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make your career. Follow me and I will make your home. Follow me and I will make you well. Follow me and I will make you whole. Follow me and I will make you prosperous. Whatsoever it is, follow me. But you have a decision. Every single time you receive an instruction, you have a decision to make. The Bible says that they left him. This is talking about Peter. And you know, this singular instruction that Peter heeded and made a decision to act on. You see, the thing about decision is that you're always making decisions. Do nothing is a decision. You see, I work in an environment where we do what I would call a business process transformation. And when you are doing that, you always have what we call options. The options could be 10. The default is always do nothing. You do nothing, what happens? You remain just the way you are. You take this path or this route, you optimize the process. You optimize your life. You enhance your life. You make your life beautiful. You allow Jesus to reshape your destiny. You allow him to build your business. You allow him to build your career. You allow him to raise your children with you. It's a decision that you have to make. You have to make a decision. But whether you make a progressive decision or you choose to do nothing, whatever you do, you are making a decision. So the fact that you didn't get up and do does not mean that you're not making a decision. It just means that you are taking the default, you are making the default decision. So it's an awesome responsibility, making decisions. Peter made the decision to follow Jesus. And what happened? Because of that singular act of obedience, if Peter didn't decide to follow Jesus Christ, I'm pretty sure many more would decide to follow him. So, you know, it's not about Peter. God, one way or the other, will find a way to fulfill his purpose. It doesn't matter who he uses. He will even use a donkey if necessary. But the point I'm trying to make is that that singular decision led Peter to be the first of the apostles that Jesus Christ used to build the church that you and I belong to today, because he made a decision. So that decision has generational, in fact, we can't even call it generational, it has universal impact because he made a decision. The same thing is true of Father Abraham. In Genesis 12 from verse 1, God said to him, "Abraham, leave your father's house and go to a place that I will show you." He doesn't even have a clue what the place was going to look like or, you know, even where the place is. But what happened? The Bible says that Abraham, although partial obedience, he took Lot with him, but he left. In other words, God was telling him, "I want to do great things with you. I want to make you a blessing, and I want the whole world to be blessed through you. But for me to do that, I need you to leave the place where you are, because this is a place that is full of idolatry and worship of all manner and all kinds of gods, and a place of evil." God was saying to him, "You need to leave this place." So Abraham left. And today you and I can lay claim to the fact that we are all partaker of the blessings of Abraham. Why? Through Jesus Christ. But you see, God had a plan. The same thing. Jonah made a decision. God said to Jonah, "Go to Nineveh and cry out against that great city." The city was great, but the city was in a mess. The city was great, but it was in a mess. All that was needed was just a cleaning up. Somebody to shout against the unrighteousness that was going on in the land. But Jonah decided to find another route, an easier route. He made a decision to go to Tarshish instead of going to the great city of Nineveh. And the consequences were there. But for God's mercy, that whale would not have been hungry, because Jonah was well cooked for a good meal, you know, for the whales. Why? Because he took a decision. The same thing when you look at Naaman in the book of 2 Kings chapter 5. You look at Naaman. Naaman came to the prophet, and the prophet said, "Go wash in the river of Jordan." What was difficult in that? Simple instruction. But Naaman acted or reacted in pride. There are better rivers where I came from. So what's your problem? If river is what I was looking for, I wouldn't need to come to you. Simple instruction. Thank God for good servants that give good counsel. But for that, Naaman would have been plagued with his leprosy all his life. But he had good people around him. And my prayer today is that you will always find the wisdom to surround yourself with good people. Amen. Whether they are servants or peers, it doesn't matter, but that God will give you the grace to surround yourself with good people, because the people that you surround yourself with matter. But that's not my message. So the most important decision that we have to make is the decision to follow Jesus. You see, we make all manner of decisions every day concerning our career, concerning where we are going on holiday, which many of you, I think, are doing or have already done now. You know, you make all this. These are mundane decisions. They have no eternal value. But the one decision that you will make that has impact on the life that you live now and that which is in eternity is the decision to follow or not to follow Jesus. And it is not by popular choice. Is a choice. But you don't have to, because God will never impose his will or his ways on you. It's a personal decision that you have to make. That is taking responsibility for living a life of peace in the life we have now and an assurance of life in eternity. You are taking absolute responsibility. And if it goes the other way as well, because heaven and hell is real, I remember when I was in the uni, I have a friend, you know, very funny guy like that, and we used to have a musician in Nigeria, because I went to uni in Nigeria, you know, if you can tell by the way I speak. So, you know, this musician is called Fela, not your Fela. Fela was a very popular, practical, you know, musician. You know, we loved him. We used to go to what was called at the time the shrine. And I remember people would preach to us in the uni that, "What are you doing in the shrine? That place where they smoke hemp and smoke all manner of things. Good people don't go to the shrine." And my friend would say, "You know what? It is fun there. If it is going to be this fun in hell, then I would rather go there." Amen. But trust me, it's not going to be that much fun in hell. So that is not the place you want to go. That is not the place you want to go. Because he would tell me, "You this, you know, you are so boring, you know, always tying scarf and looking gloomy, nothing attractive about it." But you know what? The gospel of Christ is beautiful. You are a beautiful people. Amen? And so your beauty is meant to attract men to the kingdom. You don't want anyway, we get to that. So the most important decision we have to make is the decision to follow Jesus. Let's look at Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24, from verse 15. And this was Joshua speaking to the children of Israel. And he says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorite, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." That was a man making a decision, not just on behalf of himself, but on behalf of his household. And his decision was to serve the Lord. You will always have a choice. You will always have a choice. You can either trust in this well-organized system, or you can make a decision to trust in the faithfulness of the Lord. It's your choice. And this system is so organized that you can completely forget that Jesus exists. Because everything was so, you know, it's so put together. It's not like where I come from. Where I come from, you have to pray for everything. You even have to pray that you are able to sleep at night because there are people who don't sleep. We call them the troublers of Israel. Amen. May you not find one in your domain in the name of Jesus. So those days, before we go to bed, you know, when we should be praying for souls and praying for growth, we are praying that God keep us from these night marauders that walk all over the place. I understand they've changed tactics now because of this cashless economy. All they do now is kidnap, right? So they don't come with guns anymore to your home to break down your walls, but they still find a means. They find. Can you imagine how creative people can be? But then it would have been great to be creative in a positive way. Amen? So we always have to make a decision. We can make a decision to trust the world system, which, you know, we have found ourselves in this land. It says, in the land of the people where you dwell. We are dwelling in this land. We can either choose to be part of the system or choose to be part of the kingdom of God. The choice is, you know, you have to make that decision. You have to make that decision. But whatsoever it is, when trouble comes knocking and not at your door, and it won't even be your neighbors, we will know. And that's why Pastor said last week, he said, when the heat of life keeps blowing, then we will know what you are made of. And that's why the Bible says, if you fail in the day of adversity, it says what? Your strength is small. It's not talking about this big muscle that Minister Ayo has. We're talking about that inner strength. Amen? I envy you, you know, so I'm sure you understand. I just wish I could do that. You know, pump iron every morning, waking up at 5 a.m. How do you do that? God have mercy on you. Amen. Anyway, you see, we have decisions to make every day, and we have a decision to either trust in the world system or trust in the Lord. That's a decision you have to make. And Joshua was very clear. He said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. By way of title, this message, you know, is a continuation of decisions make you. But by way of title, this one is no excuses, follow the Lord. No excuses, follow the Lord. And let's look at the book of Luke chapter 9 from verse 57. Luke chapter 9 from verse 57. In verse 57, the Bible says that now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And this is the, I'm sure many of us have said this, we'll follow the Lord. We want more of him. We just want to be in the Lord. We just want to be with Jesus. And it's a great thing. Because desire does not necessarily translate to to physical equivalent. Desire is what it is. It's just a desire. You need to make a decision. And not just make a decision, you need to take action behind, you need to put action behind your decision to get the physical equivalent of whatsoever you desire. So they said, and Jesus said to him, I have nothing to offer you because foxes have holes and even the birds of the air have nest. He said, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, you can follow me, but I'm promising you nothing. It is your choice if you want to follow me. But the road is hard, and the way to the cross is not an easy one. But if you choose to follow me, it's going to be a tough journey, but it's your decision whether you want to follow me. Anyway, and then the man said, verse 58, No, sorry, verse 59. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, maybe after he heard that, you know, foxes have holes and birds have nests. Then the man came up with all manner of things. Look at what this guy said. He says, but he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Let me first of all establish my career. Let me first establish my business. Let me first enjoy myself, of course. Let me party a little bit more. Let me club a little bit more. Let me just go back and have some more fun. Then after I've done it all, then I will come. Are we getting this? So this is because in his case, it was his father. But what is yours? What's your excuse? Oh, let me spend some more time with my friends. I love this group of friends. It's going to cost me friendship. If I choose to follow you now, I want to hang around these people for a little longer. I want to pursue my career for a little longer. I want to build my home for a little longer. I want to have a little bit of time. Then, Lord, I will come. And then what happened? And Jesus Christ said, then he said, verse 60, then Jesus said to him, he says, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. You see, all things are needful, but not all things are expedient. What is expedient is that you build the kingdom of God. What is expedient is that you avail yourself to follow the Lord. Every other thing will follow you. He says, seek ye first the kingdom, and then all these blessings, what you will eat, what you will wear, where you will live, what you will drive, where your children will go to school, what business you will do, they will follow you. Why? Because he said, follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you. Amen? But the challenge that many of us, and then, you know, just going further down, he says, and to another, and another said also, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Excuses of all manner, of all kinds, all manner of excuses. I will follow you, Lord, but I still have to take care of this business. But the Bible says in the book of Matthew 4:20. He said, Peter immediately followed the Lord. You have a decision to make. But three key decisions that we have to make as we choose to follow the Lord. Because if you don't make these decisions, you will not be able to follow. You will follow partially. It's like you give a man the head of the fish, or you give Jesus the head of your fish, and then you hold the tail, and you say, drag me along, master, if you can. You understand? You hold the tail. Why? Because you are not completely letting go. The first decision you have to make is the decision to let your past be in the past. Let your past decide that my past will be in the past. And when I'm talking about your past, I'm not just talking about the negatives of the past, even the positives. All the conquest of yesterday, all the victories of yesterday, all the achievement of yesterday. Because, mind you, Jesus Christ, Peter was an accomplished fisherman. He just had a bad night. That was what he was. He was a professional fisherman. But Jesus said to him, despite everything that you know and do, despite your skill level, I will make you better. I will make it easier. I will make you work smarter and not harder. Because it is easier when you have the access, you know, to divine direction, and then you can make decisions easily in other areas, that is, in the mundane things of life. But the first and the most important decision is the decision to follow the Lord. So you have to let go of the past. Let go of tradition. You see, some of us are in Christ, but when we want to do things in life, let me use an example. When you want to get married, how do you conduct the affairs that lead to your marriage ceremony? Do you conduct it after the traditions of your village, or do you conduct it according to the ways and the word of God? When we were going to get married, of course, my dad was late when we got married, but I had a mom and I had a family, and they had their ways of doing things. My wife had her own family, and they had a way of doing things, and it was tough, and we were Christians, and we made a decision that we were going to do Christian wedding. No more, no less. But then the challenge was there. How do we negotiate with this family? It was tough. But we got on our knees and we said, Lord, we're doing this for you. So when we get there and we are telling them, this is what we want, all we want is agreement. And that was the way it was. So it was amazing. I didn't expect it to be that easy. But that is how much God, or how far God is willing to go for you. He will make every crooked path straight before you. But you have to make a decision. You have to make a choice. For us, many of us, we would still believe that this is who I am. But that's the point. If God was going to bless Abraham the way he was, he wouldn't need to ask him to leave his father's house. But he said that you need to leave this place for me to do what I want to do with you. So he made it. You have to be able to let go of the past, the victories of the past. Some of us are in Christianity now, and we're still thinking about how we used to party those days. And sometimes we actually do feel like, you know, let's just do it. This is the one that Jesus will understand. How many of you guys feel that way? Amen. Nobody will raise hand this time. Amen. You know, we have to let go. Because we are here now. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away. All things are become. This is a new you. The old is dead. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. He said, but the life that I live in the flesh now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So why is I still thinking about yesterday? Why is I still thinking about the good old days? Why is I still thinking about the victories of the past, the exploits of the past, how I used to do things, how I used to be? Why is I still thinking about that? The point is that I is still alive. I is not yet crucified, but we need to crucify I so that Christ can live in us. And that's why I love that song, More of You, Jesus. How much of I are you really willing to crucify? Amen? The second decision we need to make is the decision to make the most of the present. Because, you see, a lot of us live so much in the past, and I love it. You know, Minister preached about this on Friday, that, you know, we just let yesterday destroy today, and we can't even enjoy the moment. But the reality is that when you can make the most, because today is all you have. Today is all you have because you don't have control over tomorrow. That's just the reality of life. You remember that man, he said, oh, now I'm rich. My feed is full. Let me feed my bands and let me relax. And then, you know, I'll just enjoy the rest of my life without stress. And God said, yes, you've done well for yourself, son, but it's time to come home. So whose will all this be? Amen? Today is all we have. Let's make it count for Jesus. The reason we are still here is because we have what it takes to contribute to the kingdom. But if we go around and our lives are not ministering to other people, how can we make this happen? In Matthew 5 from verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You say, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it gives light to all who are in the house. It says, let your light, verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You have to make the most of the moments. And that will be exemplified by your level of convictions. Are you really convicted that indeed Jesus Christ died on the cross for you? Are you really convicted that he lives today and that he stands before the presence of God to intercede for you? Do you believe? Do you have that conviction? If you have that conviction, can people really see it in you? You see, we can talk about the other faith as much as we like, you know, that it's a faith of evil, and you know, that's what it is. Let's call it spade a spade, a faith that will choose to kill a people just because they believe that they are serving the Lord. I don't believe that's a God kind of faith. But the reality is that you can't question their conviction. You cannot question their conviction. I remember when I was working in a company in the city, and there's a guy who goes for prayer at 2 p.m. You know, their regular prayer. It doesn't matter who is calling the meeting. He won't come. And people know that he wasn't going to come for the meeting. That's conviction. Do people really see conviction in you? Or are you just telling them that Jesus Christ is Lord? Are they, you know, when they look at your life, can they really see that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord? Do you have that conviction? It's absolutely important that, you know, we are convicted in following the Lord. Your conduct, what it says, you know, it says, they will see your good works. How are your works? Weigh your work. You judge. You can judge yourself. That's why the Bible says, judge yourself so that you may not be judged. We are smart people, intelligent people. We can judge whether, you know, our works are worthy or, you know, unworthy. So we can determine, we can actually judge whether our works, you know, brings honor or bring dishonor to God. So let your conduct be such that it brings glory to God. How about your confessions? How about your confessions? How do you deal with adverse situations? What do you say when you are squeezed? What comes out of your mouth? Some people are so negative that even when they mean to say positive things, it still comes out negative. Just the way it is. They want to give you good counsel. Say, but have you thought of this? You know, this could go wrong. A, B, C, D may not work. They have good intention, but you see life the way you are. You know, I don't know whether it's in our Bible Connect group on Wednesday where I was sharing that, you know, it's telling the story of a man who was standing by the city gate. And he had these visitors coming through who were asking him questions. And a little child was, you know, with him. And he said, the man came with his family and said, oh, we live in the city, you know, a few kilometers away, but we're thinking of moving into this city. How are the people? You know, it's just you trying to find a new house, you know, for your family. And you go there, how are these people? Ah, the man said, how are the people? Where are you coming from? Oh, he said, don't even talk about those people. They're horrible. I've never seen gossipers in my life. They are terrible. They are this, they are that. The man said, you know what? They are just exactly the same here. You won't find it any differently. A few days later, another set of family came. They said, how are the people in this place? We are coming. We are thinking of moving to this place. The man said, oh, wow, that would be great. How are the people where you are coming from? He said, oh, the people where we are coming from are amazing people. They are loving. They are kind. But, you know, it's because now the family is grown. We just think of leaving. We don't really want to leave. But, you know, we have to. The man said, you will find the people here are exactly like that. Do you get this? Then the young child looked at the old man. He said, yesterday, instead of people came, you said they are like that. Yes, he said. Then the man said to him, you see the world the way you are. Amen? Amen. So your confession, let your confessions be positive. Let your confession create energy. Let your confession, you know, bring hope, not despair. Your confessions, they are very important. How about your countenance? your countenance. How do you look? Do you look? I don't want to keep thinking about these university days, but it was really tough. Because you know, you go into the ladies' hostel, and then you see some sisters, and they're wondering that you should be in the reading room. What are you doing here? With a scarf tied and judging you. And you know, it was tough. But that was the reality of time. What is your countenance like? Are you always going about carrying Jesus in your smile? Or are you always frowning and, you know, making your environment gloomy? Your countenance is very important. It's very important. Because at the end of the day, the whole point is that your light should shine so that men can be attracted to the kingdom. If your countenance is not bright and attractive enough, how would you even be able to approach others? It will be impossible. Amen? And finally, the final decision you need to make is to trust the Lord for your future. The first one is to make a decision to let yesterday be yesterday. Yesterday ended last night. That's something I'm going to write in my study. I want to frame it and put it in my study so I can remember that I don't want to have to live in yesterday. It ended last night. Today is a new day. Amen? New opportunity. Wake up and get ready for the opportunity that God is going to give you. So trust the Lord for your future. Hebrews 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You have to trust him whom you are following. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It says, because they that come, I mean, it says, you must believe that, let me just go there. I think I'm now thinking about time, so. He says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. The Lord will reward you. Even though he told those guys that I don't have a place where I live, he is the key to the entire universe. He will bless you. He will prosper your ways. But you need to trust him with your career. You need to trust him with your family. You need to trust him with your health. You need to trust him with your mind. You need to trust him with everything that you are and have. You need to trust that he who said that he will make you is indeed able to make you. Amen? God is faithful. If he has promised, he will bring it to pass. Amen? Let's rise up to our feet this morning.